Awesome.
Thanks.
Take it away.
This working? Yes. Cool. So I'm just going to share a quick little testimony. And I'll stand even closer. Hi, everyone. So recently I went to pray about something in my life where I knew it was important. I knew I wanted God's guidance on this topic, but I had been a little bit nervous about going to pray about it because I knew it was like an important topic and I'd kind of been putting it off. But when I went to go and pray about this thing, I had a picture in my mind of, you know, like if you're comforting someone and you have your arm around them and maybe you're rubbing their arm or giving them a little like comforting shake or something. And that's the picture that kind of came into my mind. And I chose to believe in faith that that was a picture from God sort of saying that he was comforting me through this because, you know, it was something I was kind of scared about and felt daunted by coming to pray about this decision. But I had this sudden picture of an arm around and sort of comforting. And I happened to be reading in the Bible the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. And in case you don't know that story, it's this elderly couple and God comes to Abraham, who's married to Sarah, and says, you know, gives him all these promises and says, you're going to have a child. But Abraham and Sarah are quite old and some time has passed and there's no child. So Sarah says, have a child with my servant Hagar instead. And when this happens, Hagar apparently starts treating Sarah a little bit funny and Sarah sends Hagar away. She's not happy with her anymore. And in this moment, Hagar has been sent away and God comes to meet her in that moment. And I'm just going to bring it up so I can be accurate. God meets her here and she says, I'm fleeing from my mistress. And the Lord sends her back and says to go and submit to your mistress, but also says, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for the multitude of a multitude. And he is, you know, blessing her in this. He's comforting her. She's in this position where, you know, her masters have put her in this awkward position and then got angry at her and sent her away. And this hasn't been part of God's plan. His plan was for Abraham and Sarah to have this child. But he's still meeting her in this moment and comforting her. And then in this story, years later, Hagar has had her child, Sarah again is offended by them and sends them away. And Abraham is quite sad in this moment as well because this is his child that's being sent away. But God comforts him in this moment too. I'll just bring it up. Yeah, God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah tells you to do, do as she tells you, for through Isaac, the other son, shall your offspring be named, and I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So you can see here that God is comforting Abraham in this situation, and he's comforting Hagar. She's been sent away. He comes to meet them again and looks after them there. It linked together in my mind because I felt quite comforted by God in this moment, getting this picture of an arm around and comforting. And as I was reading this story in the Bible, it just, was really clear to me that God plays that role of comforter in our lives. I could see that in the story too. And obviously, one way that we can all be comforted by God is by thinking of what he did through Jesus on the cross for us, which brings us to communion. So if the people distributing the elements could come and do that. And I'm just going to read a bit from Luke chapter 22 about communion. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at this table. So God, we remember you and your sacrifice for us as we eat this symbol as of your body. And God, we remember you as we drink this symbol of your blood. Thank you.
How are you? Good day. If you are new, my name is To Sang. It's not just To, like my wife says, but my mommy called me To Sang, so I like that. When we come together, whether it's small or big, you know, we come in the name of Jesus, and we want to, you know, I do anyway, it's like constantly asking, why are we gathering together? You know, it's afternoon, why not be on the beach and all that? So the coming together is what Jesus called the church, is the gathering. So church is actually a verb, is a doing word. It's not a noun as in that's the church, or that building is the church, or that group of people are the church. It is the assembly of God, you know, the chosen one, the call out one. And so you are the call out one and the chosen one. So when you come together, what are we to do? One of the scripture that Paul writes in Ephesians 4:12 is so that those gifted are like apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, so that they can gather the people and equip the saints. So we are all the saints. We are the Christ disciple. We are the call out one, the chosen one, and we gather so that we get to be equipped. Equipped for what? To do the good works of service. So church is a verb, is a doing word. So when we gather, you're not to be passively sitting and just listen to a great preacher. That is one way of equipping. But the other way is actually get people to do stuff, like Claire getting up, doing communion. Is this your first communion? There you go. She did a good job. I mean, few of you clap. Nobody claps when I do it, but so that's good. You know what I mean? So it's doing it. So that's the reason why we get different people to share, is the equipping. Equipping, the word equip is to prepare each and every one of us to be functioning fully in perfection. If you think about it, that's a process. Unless some of you are expert, which, anyone expert here, fully equipped? No, so we do it together, all right? So that's why we get different people to share and all that. The word is important, but just not the preaching of by one person or being taught. We want to hear different story, then we get different flavor, different color, different journey. So in that, I'm going to invite Joseph. Young Joseph is going to come and share. I think he's the youngest on the other end. You know, the last shall be the first, so he's the youngest. Hi, Joseph. Can I give Joseph a mic, Maria? No, Maria is, see, you're not serving Joseph. Joseph, all right. Are you on? Okay. Actually, yes. Joseph is more digital than me. See, he got an iPad. I just got scriptures, scribble. All right, Joseph. We're going to do an interview because Joseph's journey is a journey of faithfulness. There's a couple of scripts. Did you want to use your pad there?
Yeah, I will.
See, very impressive. Yeah, his is electronic then. All right. So, you got a couple of scriptures. Psalm 139, verse 13. You want to kick that off? Mm-hmm. No?
I'll look it up.
Which one do you have?
I've got them both.
All right.
If I can find the right spot.
All right. I'll read that out for you. Shall I?
Yeah, you can.
So, it talks about Psalm 139, 13. The whole scripture or whole text is about how God is everywhere. And he knows everything. So he's really, really big. But yet, he's so intimate that he knows you inside out, even before you're born. That little thing that is in your mommy's womb, God was there, forming you, designing you. So he knows you inside out. Is that right?
Yeah. I've got it here. Certainly you made my mind and my heart. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give you thanks because your deeds are awesome and amazing. You knew me thoroughly. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and sewn together in the depths of the earth.
That's awesome. So, Joseph, we're going to share a few stories about God's faithfulness in your own life. Where do you want to begin?
Oh, well, the verse from Jeremiah, I think, is significant. And I've just lost it. Come on. Is that where you do the right
thing? You want me to read it out for you? No, you got it. Good. Very quick.
For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Can I just begin? I grew up with the assumption that I was going to be a farmer. That was an assumption. My father was a farmer. I was the eldest son, so naturally I'd be a farmer. At the age of about 15, 16, I recognized that I was not going to be a farmer. My mum knew it all along. She never told me, though. My mum told a story to my wife that she took this little bundle home from hospital in 1942, and after a week she said, he might not be a farmer. He hates waking up in the morning.
That was when you were 1942. Your mum already knew that you were not going to wake up early to be a farmer.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, mum is like that, isn't it? This special, okay.
Yeah. So God took over. For I know I have the plans for you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So I kind of drifted through life, not really knowing where I was going next. God opened doors, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what's there. From there, it's a very long journey to where I am now, with a peculiar set of skills and abilities. And I'm not a farmer. I'm a technician. I fix things, but that means God can use me in practical ways. Where can we go from there?
So as a technician, farmers are good fixer too. But you fix really little things. Medical equipment, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're very digital.
Yeah.
And you're still learning.
Oh, yeah.
So you sort of brought out Psalm 139, verse 13, and said God knew you before you were born. And in your journey, you consistently see God's hand in your life. Is that a bit of God's faithfulness?
Oh, yeah. God was definitely guiding and directing my life all the way. I never knew where I was going. I never had an ambition to be whatever. I just said, what's next? Let's go with the flow.
Was the flow always easy?
No. Long story, but I was married 3 times, divorced twice, and widowed twice.
So you outlived 2 of them.
Mm. Yeah. That's another story. It wasn't until early 1990s that I recognized God's hand in all this. I never doubted God. My family was Christian. We were part of the church. And there's another long story about the church that I grew up in. I've been out of the church, back into it many times. And then I was away from the church for a long while. Often, I never doubted God, as I said, but I often wanted him to go away and leave me alone.
So did you walk away from the church when you say you were not with the church?
Yeah, yeah. Initially, as a teenager, it was expected that I would be one of the Sunday school teachers. And I wasn't happy about that because some of the students were my younger siblings and they didn't want me teaching them. Then my recognition that I was never going to be a farmer meant I went and got a job, which meant moving away from home and away from the church. Then another time I was living in Sydney as a 20-year-old-ish. I was lonely, so I went to the local church to meet people. Now I met Penny, my first wife, in that church. Then we moved to, we couldn't buy a house in that suburb. Manly was a bit expensive. So we moved a bit further out and away from the church and drifted away. And yeah, that was kind of the pattern. I tried for a while in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, in several others. I was away from the church for a long while. And I was in a community in Mount Barker, and one of the other families in that community was Christian, church-going, and they witnessed to me, and I wasn't listening. And I got a job in Sydney, and again, sort of not knowing enough people, but that it wasn't just that. God chose that time for me to be ready, for him to call me back.
Now, 2 questions,
yep.
Because there are lots of young people here. One is what kind of community you were in, because I know what kind of community. Mm-hmm. So community as in how do you live, your lifestyle, your philosophy.
Hmm. How did the community begin? In 1975, I was living in Perth. I knew somebody living here in Adelaide, and I discovered that that family had moved into the community in Mount Barker. It was built on the idea that we need something better than suburban isolation. Living in little houses with the other families next door, we know who they are, but we don't know them really. And so a group of initially 5 families, eventually 8 families, moved into the big house in Mount Barker that's now the Ockendarrick House Function Centre. That community ran from 1976. I joined in 78, the end of 78. And it finally disbanded in 1994. But it was not a religious community at all. It was a group of people who had social conscience. Some of us were social workers and things like that, nurses, etc. But mainly that the impetus was something better, something closer to a community rather than a suburban house and sort of not really knowing the people across the street. That's how it began.
So there was a need in those time of relationship. That's why you come together. But within that community, you also say you're beginning to sense God was drawing you. Have you ever walked out from God? I know you drifted from church and all that. Yeah, Have you ever walked up from God?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. As I said, I often wanted God to go away and leave me alone, and I tried hard to ignore God. I think that's, apart from, I sometimes said I had several prodigal decades. Whether I actually walked away from God, I'm not sure.
Did God ever walk away from you?
No. I can think of several instances. One where I was driving from Mount Barker across to Parkes in New South Wales for Christmas lunch. It was raining, we were late, and I was driving dangerously, and the car stopped, broke down. And I'm sure that was God protecting me. It was very easy when the rain stopped to fix the car and get it going again. That was very simple. But for that little while, I had to stop and recognize, okay, I'm going to be late for lunch. Stop speeding. Just drive sensibly.
So your life journey from 1948 to 2024 is a long journey. So we're going to draw it close now. But I'm just going to ask you, you can, or up to you, you went through some dark times the last few years. You want to talk about that, whether God is in your dark times?
Yeah. God opened doors for a lot of my life without me recognizing it often. One particular door was slammed shut very firmly and very painfully. Somebody died. And in some strange way, that did not cause me to doubt God or to run away from God. I can't explain that. I didn't feel God's arms around me or anything like that. I never have. My head understands God's here and God's protecting me. The rest of me takes a long time to catch up. But God was there. God is there. And I sense now that God is dragging me out of that dark place. And he has plans for me. I don't know what they are. I'm nervous about what those plans might be. But he's given me this peculiar skill set. I'm able to do things that other people can't. And I have a particular empathy with people. I understand a lot of motivations, and I'm able to, I was always sometimes quite judgmental. That's gone. I'm much more able now to allow people to do things differently than I would. And say, okay, I still like that person anyway. Because they're God's child just like I am. God has something for me to do. I don't know what it is yet. He'll tell me when he's ready. Meanwhile, I go forward and the other verse of scripture I thought of just a little while ago. Moses telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. I don't feel strong, I don't feel courageous. I feel very timid, very weak. But I know God's enabling me.
That's awesome, Joseph. Would you mind closing with that scripture from Jeremiah 29 verse 11 and then praying for us youngie to hang in with God, be hopeful even though we might be timid, and just trust God's faithfulness.
For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. God, I pray for each of us, including myself, that we can absorb your assurance that you know what's in our future and you have it. You got it. You're caring for us. You're guiding us. You're protecting us. May we be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Joseph. That was so good. All right. Can you put the slide for me, Sleeve? Eve? There you go, Joseph. You got a clap, man. That's good. All right. So, the church, this fellowship anyway, is not one or two doing everything. It is about all of us, every one of us, finding that set skill or that gift, doing one or two things. And to do that is basically that we come together and get equipped, just get prepared, get encouraged. The other way, obviously, is from Hebrews. I'll read that and then explain what we're going to try to do this year. So I'm reading from Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in Ephesians 4, it talks about equipping so that each of us will do the work of service. And here, that we can do this together by encouraging each other, by coming together face to face, not online, not on phone, where we're there in presence, where we can stir each other up, stimulate to love and to do good works. So to come once a week on Sunday, in my view, is not regular enough. So we're gonna start Cohorts for Christ. I like the name cohorts because it's different from group. That's all. You know, we come and start live group, small group, church group, house group. So now we're going to have cohorts for Christ. The aim is basically do discipleship together, you know, just come community, you know, as Joseph mentioned, there's a great need for us to connect. You know, even when he is drifting away, he still found different people. And God allowed him to connect with different people that might help him. So have a think about it, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. I have experienced a lot of different groups, and I can assist you in facilitating or coming along and just stirring one another up, all right? So that's the aim. I was just talking to Neil and Joseph last week. So we're going to start not being sexist, but a male group. All right. First Tuesday, 7:15 here. And Neil had come up with a name called the Tillers of Vineyard. T-I-L-L-E-R-S. And I put a scripture with it, which is Hosea 10:12. Anyway, have a look about it and think about it. So any question, come to me. I think Zanny and Chris is also looking at starting a group. So anyone else? I think generally the social science and also Christian group suggest that 5 or 7 to 15 is a good number. If it's too small, it's not really a group. Even 2 or 3, you know. So just look at that. Whatever stuff you want to do, it's okay. There's not topical thing that you have to follow. All right. So we're going to do some worship, and then because the I've got a few things. I think part of equipping is learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. You might have an open time for word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy, and I'll guide you through. All it is, again, when we gather, we have to expect God wants to bless us. And the way God blesses is to give us stuff, normally revelation, something to pray for each other, to encourage. So, yep. So, Maria is going to lead a song, and then we're just going to wait. And for those who are here, Mia, you're new, so feel free if you want to participate. And for those who have tried, have a go at it. This is a safe place. That's how we get equipped and encouraged. All right?